Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome back to Geeking In. I am Jay, I am your party host, so grab your bourbon, your beer, or your brew, half a sugary and oat milk, just the way you like it, and strap in for Fandome!
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 I am joined, as always, by the incredible, by the invincible, the infamous, our futurist, our Tony Stark. How you doing, T?
I'm so confused with oat milk and now futurist. This is going really weird for me. What the fuck?
Just go with it. Just go with it.
It's been away a week. What is this shit? What show am I on? What the hell are we even talking about?
This week we're going to be talking about the third film in the 7 months we've been doing this. And we are also joined by Mr. Fantastic himself, our flexible friend, the pyjama prince that was promised, the toothless one. How you feeling, B?
What's up, Doc?
It's you've had a day, haven't you?
Jay, I think that was just a pause. I think it's carrying on.
That
was a pause. The gap in between his teeth.
Mind the gap. Yeah.
Do you have any sympathy shouts you want to give out to our listeners from Hemel Hempstead to Dublin to Oregon and beyond?
Yeah, remember to brush your teeth, floss, and mouthwash.
Before you kiss them.
And while you are remembering all of that, please also remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share. Continue to share the conversation at Geeking In Pod. Send B your well wishes as he recovers from brutality. But whilst you're at Geeking In Pod on both Instagram and Twitter, you'll be able to find in the bio our Linktree link that takes you to everywhere we are, including Teesprings. Teespring.
Like I've never done the show before.
Not with you two, I haven't. No, I'm out of practice. Teespring, which will take you to our selling our mugs, our T-shirts, and our masks. So if you are suddenly self-conscious about a hole in your mouth, you can put on one of the masks and cover it. I will stop making tooth jokes. I feel that there's not much room for tooth jokes. But yes, it will. I have no idea how to connect these two.
I feel like you're getting connections, but then you get an idea for a tooth joke, so you just go off on
that. I know.
Good move to the stop to the subject of this podcast.
Everything goes back to the root. No, I mean.
Brace yourself, guys. It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, we might, at this rate, we might finish by 2:30.
Oh, dear. Gosh. To go on a plaque. Wait, no.
Hey.
Do you know, B, what's going to make you feel better? Talking about Fandome. So, T, I know you weren't able to watch any of this live.
I mean, I was able. I just chose not to.
And we thank you for your dedication.
Wow. Yeah, detention for T.
B, as the professional one of the two.
Three? No?
Yeah. One of those went without saying, so I didn't bother. How did you find Fandome this year?
It was a little bit low key. I thought it was less energized than last year. I think last year was a bit more energized. And
is that just all the Novocaine you were on?
Maybe. It just felt a little bit low key. I mean, don't get me wrong, they had some amazing trailers.
Sorry, no, that was so stupid. Carry on. Wasn't worth the interruption.
Oh, I got that reference.
Also Marvel.
And for those who didn't,
Loki.
They'll get it one of the other timelines. It's fine. I know what you mean. I mean, I think part of it was last year with Fandome. We kind of took the piss out of it as a concept and what it was, and then I think we were all a little bit taken aback as to how big and impressive it actually was, and just the amount of content and announcements and everything that came out, I think, was a little bit kind of shocking. And I think that's the problem. In this year, it was kind of, I had raised expectations. And it was good. And it was only when we were kind of prepping for this show, because actually there's prep for this show, if you believe it or not.
No one believes that.
No. That I think we started realizing just how much was announced and had come through. And I don't think we're going to scratch the surface on it today. But it did feel a little bit less than last year.
I mean, last year they had lots of forums and I don't know if you caught some of the YouTube presented it. They had DC ambassadors presenting shows and then live interaction. So I caught some of those and they were fabulous. But I felt last year they had more discussion around, you know, about the comics as well. They had, sessions with Jim Lee and, you know, a whole host of artists. I just thought that was missing this. I really enjoyed that last year, but I suppose, you know, there's only so much of the same storytelling you can do.
There's also an element of, you know, DC Comics is in such a state of flux since this time last year that you probably don't want to put anyone really on a panel to talk about it. But no, it all just felt a little bit less this year. I mean, huge amount of content. And actually, probably I prefer this year's announcements to last year's, partly because Zack Snyder's nowhere near any of this.
He had a whole panel last year, didn't he?
Yeah, for the Justice League. But
love it.
Do you finally admit you love the Justice League?
I'd love the Justice League, yes. Not so much Zack Snyder's interpretation. I think, you know, going through some of the videos that were put on, it's a real weird thing of we're getting some of the cast to come up and say, hey, listen, really sorry, none of our work is complete yet, we don't have a trailer, we don't have a teaser, but we've been working really hard and I can show you some of the working we're doing. It's like, you know, someone's got to their, like, you know, end of year or their monthly review point and they've just not done any of the assignments. And they're like, oh, listen, yeah, we're still a bit behind, but here's some of the stuff we have done. Here's some of the research I've done. Here's some of the background work. It's just not ready yet. You know, and that's quite a strange thing for me. It's a strange way in which it was presented, I think.
I mean, it is very strange that you've got... So, I mean, you know, the Blue Beetle one, which isn't one we've got down to talk about, was, you know, the director and the star talking about concept art.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, you know, it's away from being able to actually talk in detail about any of it, that it's kind of, you know, hypotheticals about who this character is in the comic lore. I mean, my favorite part was, and I can't remember the actor's name, but he's, in Karate Kid at the moment. He's Miguel in Karate Kid. And he's, you know, they're talking about this suit, and he's talking about, you know, oh, it's, it, you know, the suit is just incredible. What they're doing with the suit is just absolutely amazing, and it's going to be the best looking superhero suit you've ever seen. I mean, I've not seen it yet, but and it is, it's all this kind of like, you know, it's hyperbole and promise on based upon concept art. And I have a feeling that, you know, Ryan Reynolds may have said similar things about the Green Lantern suit before.
Well, that's so the other weird thing, because, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is a really good example here. So Ryan Reynolds is a personality on which you can sell an entire thing, right? All of Free Guy was basically marketed by saying, hey, Ryan Reynolds is a very marketable game to go talk about this stuff.
Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds.
That's all you had to do. And that sort of worked, I think, a little bit for me with the Black Adam trailer, which I know we'll come to talk about later, because Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is kind of that personality. But not everyone is. Not, you know, just getting a person in front of a camera talking about this work that they're thinking about doing. Man, I'm not an investor in DC. You don't need to prove to me you're doing stuff. If you haven't got a trailer ready, don't worry about it. Show it next year. Show it the next year. Just release a trailer when it's time to release a fucking trailer.
But it's very funny because Marvel just do this thing of I'll drop a name and I might drop some casting, but you know, I'll tell you in 2023, you're going to see the Marvels. And I'm not going to go into any more detail than that. Whereas DC feel that they have to do this whole kind of, you know, and here's concept art and here's a behind-the-scenes teaser of shooting.
Now, I can understand some of that from DC because of the lack of homogeneity of their products, and which is a good thing. You know, Marvel come and tell me, hey, I'm now doing Howard the Duck. I have a bit of a clue of what it's going to be like. It's going to be a bit of action. It's going to be a few jokes. It's going to be, you know, that kind of quippy dialogue. I get it. I know what I'm in for. With a DC film, I could be watching, you know, the Batman or Joker, or I could be watching Zack Snyder's Justice League. You don't know. You don't know the tone of it. So it does make sense to me a little bit to do some of that. It's just, it didn't feel like, hey, we're excited to share this with you. You know, this is Feige on stage saying, listen, man, we've been holding on to this stuff. We've been waiting for the right moment to tell you, here it is. It felt like, oh, shit, today's deadline day. What can we put on screen?
Yeah. Yeah. And interesting, the ones that weren't announced as well. So Patty Jenkins is all over social media about Wonder Woman 3 is coming. However, there's no mention of Wonder Woman 3, even just a mention that Wonder Woman 3 is coming. So quite strange with some of the, and just so varied as well. And if you are a fan over multiple formats and genres, then that's brilliant. But it was very, very varied in regards to what they were showing and talking about.
They didn't mention Sandman at all, did they?
No, heartbroken.
I mean, they had advert for the Audible audiobook.
No, and again, so no mention at all. However, the first look at Gwendolyn Christie as Lucifer lands pretty much the same day. However, on social media, you know, it was on their Twitter rather than something that's going through, especially, and we'd speculated about this a lot because the free books that they put up to read were the first four issues of The Sandman.
Yeah.
So you would think that there's some kind of synergy between here's the stories we're going to tell versus here's what we're going to show.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, things are going off in different rounds and different routes and how it all fits together. So, yeah, it's a very strange setup. I mean, clamoring for details of The Sandman. You've had the first kind of teaser bit.
Stunning.
That, you know, you could have done something, I would have thought. And it's interesting that Netflix did far more with Sandman than DC did with Sandman.
Yeah, that, I find that so strange.
Generally, you know, the whole thing is DC's organization is really, really weird, right? The Warner's thing is really weird. The company and the way it doesn't necessarily know how to work its IP in the same way. And I think this, we're seeing some of the behind the scenes of that now. You know, it clearly is executives going to these filmmakers saying, oh, show me what you got. You need to produce something. You need to produce something for this thing. And they're running around producing something. That's really strange. You know, we were talking about the Disney investors. Is it D23? No, D23 is their thing. The investors one is different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But their investors conference. And I remember thinking that's a weird one to share with us as the public. You know, that's a weird one to announce it because actually I want this to be, you know, you're producing fiction, you're telling the stories, and you're telling the stories in the order in which you want to tell the stories. At least, and that itself could be a fiction, but I want to be part of that fiction. This just, again, felt like, you know, numbers and deadlines and things like that.
So I think what you're saying is if DC were trying to organize your annual trick-or-treating, it could turn into a long Halloween.
Wow. 6 out of 10.
Wow.
We've been doing this show so
Jesus.
Long. As soon as you said the word so, I was like, this is a transition. Jay has ended this topic.
Move on.
He said so.
There's other things for us to talk about. Like, let's for go. Instance, the Batman trailer.
Yay.
So a year ago, we did get the teaser.
Oh, yeah. I watched that recently, thinking it was
a trailer. Vengeance.
What a teaser.
We got a fuller trailer this time. Two fuller trailer. A lot more Catwoman in this one.
Hallelujah.
A lot more Batman in this one. A lot more Riddler in this one. B, what did you, how were you reacting to our Pats and the Batman?
So, for those listeners who've listened into some of our conversations around Batman, I initially wasn't too enamored with Mr. Patterson's Batman.
Nipples on the Batsuit.
Possibly. But having watched the teaser trailer last year and this trailer this year, I just think it's absolutely stunning. I think his portrayal is going to be the Batman that I've wanted for such a long time. You know, it's dark, it's gritty, and it's violent. And that's what I want, you know, the Dark Knight to be. Whether it be year one, year two, it just looks awesome. I thought it was such a well-made trailer. I loved every single second of it. It was great. I cannot wait.
T, were you as enamored?
Yes, I got that feeling of, my God, everything is in this trailer. And I was sort of going, fucking... If it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't be watching this trailer. This is so much information. Now, it might not be, you know, and that's hopefully it won't be, I guess. I like that there's a big part of me, and I've been excited right from day one. And suddenly there was a big part of me that just went, I really hope this is the last attempt a real world Batman for a little while. Because I feel like they're always trying to do that. So Nolan did that, and I thought Nolan did that really well. And, you know, back in, like, the 90s when they were, like, just nervous about making superhero things, they would just try and make something that felt like another film but had a bit of a superhero twist on it. You know, the X-Men are just in leather jackets or whatever. And this had a bit of a feeling of that to me, where it was just like, you know, where... And I know that's not the case, you know, understanding where we are today, but back when we were in a place where we were too nervous to make a big superhero film, we'd make something like this. So that part, I just thought, this looks great. You know, and similar with the Joker and all that, looks great. I hope the next iteration of Batman is, you know, a bit more comic booky. And also, I just hope we haven't fucking seen like the whole film in this trailer. The action figures dropped as well this week.
Yep.
And you know, you get really clear. I mean, of course, you know, the things change, but you get very clear looks at what the Riddler's costume is and Catwoman's costume is and stuff like that. And you know, it just felt like, oh, these aren't action figures I particularly want to own. They're not particularly interesting things that would go on my shelf. You know, it's just a bloke in clothes. Yeah, so I think I came out of this trailer slightly less excited than I was going in. But having said that, I'm really in for this movie. I'm excited. I think, you know, I think the cast is great. I think their ideas behind it are pretty interesting. It'd be good.
I find myself worrying that they're going to try and do too much. In the sense that it seems to be a Batman origin story and a Catwoman origin story. And then there's the Riddler and maybe other stuff going on. So this is feeling complex. And I don't know how that's going to all kind of gel together on it. The action scenes look fantastic. The fight looks, you know, far more kind of brutal than some of the ones we've seen before. However, you know, said the same thing looking at the Batman Begins choreography as well. So, you know, we know that, you know, Batman's good at punching people. I quite like the aesthetic they've got for the Batmobile. Yeah. It's kind of like a stripped out, almost like a Rat Rod style, you know, souped up muscle car rather than an out and out Batmobile. Mm-hmm. Again, clearer images of that are available through the Lego releases, which show you various models of the Batmobile. I don't understand why we do this thing where there is a guy that dresses as a bat with a cowl and a helmet and a cape and a big bat symbol on his chest. However, when Catwoman is around, we have to give her a practical outfit that hints at Cat.
So in Dark Knight Rises, I remember when the first reveal, she had the goggles on and I was like, oh, fuck's sake. And then she flipped the goggles over and kind of flipped them up and they went on her head. And the size of the goggles made the cat ears.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right. You know, weird touch, but great. And then, you know, as you watch the film, there was this whole kind of thing of her wardrobe was literally like one outfit that she'd kind of keep changing little bits of. And they thought, okay, actually, that too is a costume. Everything she does is a costume. They kind of worked, you know, in that way. Here, basically, apart from Batman, you've just said everything else is real world. And it just feels like it's been done and it's kind of old. And embrace the fact that this is, you know, superhero fantasy fun stuff.
And you could argue that, you know, this is the, you know, he kind of is the catalyst and, you know, him dressing up in this because, you know, criminals are
cowardly, superstitious, and somewhat I forgot the word now. Copycat. What's the word I was going to say? Plagiarists.
Yeah. Word. So I mean, but that, you know, you could argue that, and then that inspires people to become more outlandish and crazy and cartoonish in the supervillain villains. Blah blah blah. That's absolutely fine. Except we've already seen that story beat for beat in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is, it feels weird that, you know, you're wearing a cape and a cowl. She's wearing like a bodysuit and a balaclava that just seems to kind of bunch up around her ears. And he's wearing a trench coat and a mask. It doesn't feel like they've shopped in the same place.
Teespring.
She's in a mask, a geeking in mask.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would, for various reasons. But yeah, I mean, it's a very busy trailer, and it seems to give a lot.
I love his gadgets. You know, he at one stage he electrocutes a baddie using his gloves. Yeah. So that was good. And I think at one stage, I think there's a hint of a grappling gun.
There's more than a hint on the toy. So, yeah.
Oh, there we go. So, yeah, that I think will be interesting because I don't think that was kind of explored in some of the more Dark Knight films.
Well, there was a fair amount in regards to, you know, hey, Lucius, what amazing MacGuffin have you got for me today?
Yeah.
He actually did have electric fingers, but he used it on his cape.
When he touched it, his cape got stiff.
Yeah,
really?
I said cape.
Yeah.
Did he not do something with that with Scarecrow in the Narrows?
No, I don't think I don't think it was a strong enough charge to actually do anything with. I think it was literally just to make the cape stiff.
But yeah, it's...
And it wasn't actually the cape, was it? It was because he saw him with the claws. So it was...
No, that's what he was playing with. He was playing to see whether he could give himself, like,
claws. So the claws were within the cape. Those were what made the whole thing, right? So he would electrocute it, the claws would go stiff. And that would form the shape of the cape into a glider.
Anyway. I think the claws were a separate thing. I think they were playing with it because it was like memory.
Yeah, memory fabric, wasn't it?
Yes.
To make tents.
I was desperately trying not to say memory foam because that's not what I meant. But I couldn't quite work out what that second word is because all my brain's screaming, it's foam, foam, foam. Yes. So again, we've seen bits of it, whether we're back to millionaire super genius Bruce Wayne who can create grappling hooks.
Or just using Black Widow's leftover weapons.
Yeah, Tony Stark stuff. Stark tech.
But yeah, what? No, I mean, it's that whole stripped back thing. I guess it's what they did with the James Bond reboot. It's what they did with Dark Knight. It's what they did with Joker. Fine. All fine. I think despite all of that, it does look like it's going to be a lot of fun. If it takes itself way too seriously, there's a point where, you know, the fact that he's Batman is just going to come across silly.
I think it looks very enjoyable. I think fun is an interesting word. I don't know how much fun the film's going to be. I think there is a certain amount of... It feels like there's a certain amount of throwback to the Zack Snyder, everyone's got to be manically depressedness to it. So, and as you said, you know, it's one of those kind of, you know, you can be grounded in reality or you can have your good guy dressed as a bat. Please pick one.
I quite like that. I quite like the darkness of it. I'm just so looking forward to it. It, you know, 2022 can't come around quick enough.
No, I mean it's incredible that it's been pushed back, you know, for as long as it has.
So is it really production delays or just to do with, you know, COVID and cinemas?
All, I think. I know it got closed down a couple of times because of COVID, which led to production delays.
Right.
So yeah, I mean it slid quite a lot because of various things like that. And then there's all the rumors of falling out and all the rest of it, which seem to either not be accurate or at least have kind of passed through because, you know, there's a lot of stories about, you know, sequels already being in the works and all the rest of it. again, we've not talked about the penguin in any of this, who we got to see far more of.
Is it a penguin?
I mean, he's cast as the penguin.
Well, I thought he's cast as Copper Pepperpot.
Cobblepot?
Pop-a-pot?
Cobblepot.
Yeah.
Me, have you watched Gotham?
I've seen bits of it. I couldn't really get into it.
I mean, Fish Mooney's really kind of just a character designed for you, I think.
I feel like you'd love it, but also Penguin there is an interesting take, which I quite like.
I watched the early parts of Gotham, and I quite liked the take on Penguin.
Mm.
But I didn't see the full.
Well, no. Same.
I also quite liked the take on Riddler.
Yeah, yeah, that was very well done.
I thought that was quite good. He was a police profiler, and police crime lab, and then kind of went a little bit off the deep end.
So in this one, it looks as if. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Riddler gets arrested and then it looks as if the story is he's organising stuff from behind bars, which obviously Batman seems to be trying to solve. That looks like the crux of the story, so a bit like Law Abiding Citizen, if you've seen that.
The Dark Knight. Where part of Joker's plan is to be behind bars so he can then pull off his
blow up the bomb that's built into someone's chest. It's an interesting amount of stuff to show on the trailer. Because you've gone from the teaser, which is, this guy is just kind of, and he could strike anywhere and he could be, and it's crazy to. Oh no, he's sitting in the cafe and everyone's on his way to arrest him. So, it was a bit of a shock to see so much, I think, in the trailer.
Definitely.
However, not as much of a shock as the claim that Aquaman was the most successful DC film.
Yes.
Which was made in the Aquaman The Lost Kingdom sizzle reel.
We talked about it at the time. We couldn't understand why it made so much money. And to this day, I'm just like, is it to do with, like, did lots of people in China watch it? Is it one of these, like, international box office that brought it in?
I mean, it is a former weekly recommendation of mine.
Because it's not rewatchable.
What?
I quite liked it because it was just... fun and goofy.
It's fun.
It's and neon not something compared to that the dark would... of I liked it as the anti-Justice League.
Did you rewatch it in cinemas, Jay?
I watched it once in cinemas. I didn't rewatch it in cinemas. No.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can understand that it would get a watch from everyone who watched these films. I couldn't imagine that it's getting like a second watch. It was, I couldn't understand where the money came from. But hey, well done, well done.
I mean, it had some beautiful shots in it. Him diving off into the deep with the whatever the Lost Tribe were, and them all kind of coming in towards the flare that he was diving down with, I thought was a beautiful shot. And Dolph Lundgren, you had me at hello. But yeah, it's a strange one to be allegedly the highest performing DC film in a world where like Wonder Woman exists, for instance. It's an odd one.
There is a thing like that, isn't it?
And Justice League.
The best, so a film does really well and is very well regarded. But only gets whatever views it gets because it's the intro one. And the sequel or the second one or whatever will do so much better regardless of the quality of the film.
Yeah.
Because it's just running off the previous one, isn't it?
But yes, so we got to see a little bit of the creation of Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. Spoilers. as much as they're water-based, they're going to a desert. So we're playing the hits.
You know, what put me... I enjoyed it, I think. I enjoyed Jason Momoa. Again, you know, we're running it off of Momoa's personality, and he's a strong enough personality for me to want to kind of keep watching. And he's clearly enjoying doing the... You know, he's enjoying himself doing the film. Maybe not so much enjoying this behind-the-scenes look that they clearly were forced to do. And it feels like they were making, like, you know, DVD extras as they were making the film. So fine. I'm also quite excited about the whole, you know, the environmental story behind it. And actually, you know, they're trying to do something real, and he's very proud of that. Excellent. Then James Wan said, and also we're going to go through loads of different locations. It's going to be location after location. Wait till you see all the different locations. And I just went, that's what you did with your last film, man, where you just went from place to place, like levels.
Yeah, I mean, it was the seven seas.
You literally just went boom,
and
boom,
the
boom,
desert.
Boom, 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 and you did that again. And also I saw Amber Head in the background of many shots. I thought she had been replaced.
No, they were trying. You know, there was a lot of kind of fan petition too.
Right.
But the rumor is that it wasn't replaced. It was just drastically shrunk.
And sort of explains why she was not one of the people interviewed for this behind the scenes look, I guess.
Yeah. And might explain why, you know, Orm, for instance, seems to be far more front and center. He may have been swapped out to be the uneasy buddy.
That's a far more interesting relationship anyway between Aquaman and Orm than Aquaman and Mira.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, you know, Yahya Abdul-Mateen is back as Black Manta. I thought it was the first one. Can't wait to see what he does in the second one. Have a feeling I've already seen what he does in the second one by watching the first one.
Well, in fairness, in the first one at the beginning, he had that interesting thing with his dad. I mean, they did obviously forget about it immediately afterwards, but for that bit, it was quite interesting.
I mean, he was grumpy for the rest of the film.
There you go. Good enough.
It wasn't forgotten. It was just negated. Yeah. And, you know, he did make a helmet that shot lasers.
Yeah.
His was that a render or an actual image? I can't remember now. A still from the film. But him in his command center with the outfit on looked amazing.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make, you know, Aquaman feel too serious. He's fighting Black Manta in that outfit. So enjoy it.
No, and they were very much about having fun in the last one. You know, Ocean Master's helmet is animated and moves. Why does that happen? Because it's fun. Okay.
Brilliant. I love
that. So you took the dead guy's clothes? Yeah, it was all very kind of weirdly done. And I'm looking forward to it. However, it does look just drastically samey from the bits so far. You know, and hey, if they're going to call the film Aquaman 2, watch Jason Momoa punch stuff, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's only a matter of time before he's in a Fast and Furious film as Vin Diesel's cousin.
Pet fish.
Yeah, there's got to be a family thing. Can he be The Rock's relation?
He could be.
Well, I suppose he could be anyone's relation, couldn't he, really? It's Lenny's brother. And it's family. I think it's an interesting one. Be you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it looked quite fun from what they showed. Is that what, next year? Some allegedly. Stage.
I mean, it looks drastically unfinished compared to some of the other stuff we've seen.
You would have expected it to be further on.
I mean, it might just be that they've not shown it, but I don't understand why they've not shown it if it's further on. They showed more of Flash stuff, and that's further away. They showed more of Black Adam, and that's further away.
I mean, this is all CG, isn't it? All underwater stuff, all of that stuff.
Even the hair.
Even the hair is CG. So, yeah, this is going to have... yeah, and then the CG isn't complete until it's complete. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to just show them in front of green screens or whatever. It's going to take away the magic.
We will see. But as we just said, one of the ones that did look far more finished was the long-awaited Flash movie.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Tell me about Oh, God.
Well, Ezra Miller, why does he look such a donkey?
I didn't know what your criticism was going to be. That's not the one I was expecting.
But it's not what either of us could really defend either.
Does this river look like a donkey?
Would you like to expand?
He just looks like a donkey. I mean, why was he?
Mute and laugh for a while.
I think T said it in the beginning. I mean, you know,
the donkey was on you.
Whoa,
yeah, the donkey's
me.
On me.
Don't put Ezra Miller
He stood up and said, you know, me and my mate have cobbled together, you know, a few minutes of shots because the movie, we haven't got enough for a trailer. So they proceed to show a 2-minute trailer following that.
Yep.
And I just lost a little bit more respect for him then, to be honest.
Donkey Ezra Miller.
I mean, what they showed seemed okay, but let's wait and see.
I mean, you saw him outside his mother's house.
Yeah.
The flashpoint elements there.
Yeah.
You then saw short hair Ezra Miller with long hair Ezra Miller.
Yeah, multiverse.
I mean, fine.
So I think I was more into it than either of you two.
I don't know whether what this film was missing was more Ezra Miller.
More donkeys.
I mean, how many donkeys does it take to become a sanctuary?
We just need Shrek to show up. Donkey. Yeah, you saw what the presumably is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we could track exactly when the painkillers kicked in this show.
I think we saw the Batmobile.
Can we have one more blast of the Shrek impression?
What Shrek impression?
The one you... The one that you did, you've obviously blacked out since then, but the one that you did a second ago.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, we record this show and put it out on the internet. This isn't just you and me having a chat.
Yeah, listeners, listen back and tell me whether I did a Shrek impression. We might get more listens.
How?
Oh, yeah, probably not.
They've already listened. You're asking people who have listened to listen.
On different platforms.
It's more pronounced on Apple.
Unless you've already listened on Apple, in which case Spotify.
Yeah, maybe we should do different versions on different...
We barely manage this one version. Oat milk and donkeys.
There's nothing wrong with the oat milk. It's Don't blame the oat milk on this.
It went all wrong from the oat milk. That was the splash point change in dimension. It's almond milk. It's been almond milk for years.
So yeah, we got to see the Batmobile.
and we saw the bat, allegedly.
We definitely heard him. We also saw Supergirl.
Did we? I missed that.
Yeah, so she was over the shoulder of the other Ezra Miller.
Oh, I definitely missed that.
And again, you know, bearing in mind we know the excitement about that casting and that character, why do I have to look past two donkey-like Ezra Millers before I can see Supergirl?
Fucking poor Ezra Miller.
Said no one.
You fucking rip
ever.
Oh, God.
So I like T, you were feeling this one a little bit more than us, were you?
I definitely was. I think it looked fine. You know, the costume was clearly unfinished. I thought, you know,
that's high praise, isn't it? I thought it was fine.
Well, yeah, the costume was clearly like the Green Lantern costume CGI. And like clearly that's unfinished. But I like a bit of time travel, multi-dimensional stuff. I like a bit of throwback to, you know, the old Batman. Just all stuff I liked, you know. I think this.
But do you like time travel, multi-dimension stuff when it gives you multiple Ezra Millers?
Yeah, I could like Ezra Miller as the Flash.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I think he plays a better Wally West than a Barry Allen, but that's the issue with, you know, insisting on doing Barry Allen constantly forevermore, not moving on. No, I like Ezra Miller, and I think, and Ezra Miller as the Flash. I think it'll be a fun movie. It looks like it's got the things that I like in it. Yeah, it might be doing a hell of a lot. Also, you know, it's a DC, whatever this continuity is called, movie. I have such low expectations for this stuff. As long as it doesn't bore me, I'm fine, and I don't think it'll be boring.
No, we'll wait and see. I'm unsure. However, if you are looking for yellow lightning bolts to convince you of things to come,
yay!
Black Adam was an interesting presentation. So we began with
Colonel cast Sanders. Members,
Colonel Sanders,
what
who
the fuck is this look?
Who Brosnan. Used to be in James Bond, don't you know?
Why is he fucking ragging on his James Bond time to talk about how good Black Adam is?
Because No Time to Die is out. It's topical.
Yeah, tie-in.
I mean, you know they forced him to say that. That's so funny. It's just so ridiculous. All these presentations were so ridiculous.
You know, someone's told him he's trendy on the social web and he's gone for it.
Oh, yeah, all right. Is that what I should say? Yeah, all right then. Is this a TikTok? Have I done a TikTok now? That's what he's fucking saying.
Basically.
He's got no clue who the hell Dr. Fate is. He just got cashed a paycheck.
No, and he's played a blinder because half of it's going to be in a mask, which means he doesn't even have to be there.
There you go.
Works for RTJ.
it's true. But trying to get us to believe that Pierce Brosnan's belief in the fucking Black Adam film
to say about how big and large this film is, I think is him just absolutely throwing shade on The World's End and also the Percy Jackson films.
Oh, Percy Jackson films were awesome.
That's a topic for another day.
They're
credited for killing an entire genre. I mean, it's
all right. It's all right, Ben. You and I can recommend one each. It's fine.
No, I'll take the whole recommendation.
Yeah, I know.
Pierce Brosnan's in those too, right?
What would you like to recommend? Greek mythology. Okay.
No, all mythology.
Everything that derives from Greek mythology. yeah, so we had kind of the cast talking about how awesome it is to be in a film with The Rock. And then we had The Rock talking about how awesome it was to be in a film with The Rock.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant.
And he swore, because, you know, he's edgy. And then we had a few minutes worth of Black Adam.
Oh, I thought it was a few minutes.
Where people fire at him.
Hmm.
And he electrocutes them.
I think that was an awesome reveal. Awesome reveal.
What was it revealing?
Well, part of his suit.
And black bits.
Yeah, and the little lightning logo. The Shazam logo.
I think we all knew the tone of this film back when, you know, 15,000 years ago, when The Rock was first attached to doing Black Adam and started talking about it on his Instagram, because we know the tone of every single film that Dwayne Johnson stars in and will star in until the end of time.
And I will watch, but that's
the point. Well, that's also the thing, and we also know we're all going to watch this film. And, you know, the thing is, he is a bankable star. You know what you're getting. You know it's going to be fun. You know he's going to... I mean, just his fucking silhouette. In fact, this is the thing. In the Batman trailer, I remember thinking all the bits where they zoom out and you see the silhouettes and the shapes and stuff, I just thought, that's really well done. Just visually fucking beautiful. And also getting, you know, this trim Pattinson Batman silhouette after bulky Affleck. You know, it just really, really like beautiful shots there. And then when you just had that silhouette of Dwayne Johnson in his normal clothes, and I was like, fuck everything else. This is what a superhero looks like.
I think that's going to be interesting, because at some point he's going to be sharing a screen with bodysuit Zachary Levi.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's just not going to work.
And that didn't look great when he was on his own.
Yeah.
Let alone when he's standing next to someone chiseled out of granite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just not going to work. But, you know, if Cavill comes back...
I killed the conversation.
If Cavill comes back as Superman, because Cavill is fucking huge now.
Yeah.
He's
been working out for The Witcher.
And we need to see someone who we feel like is a credible threat to Superman. Black Adam's your man.
Yeah.
You know, he actually looks, physically feels like he's that threat. You just think, right, you know, and, you know, us as the comic book fans knowing that the weakness is magic and therefore actually, you know, this would be damaging even if it wasn't this guy. Just visually, Henry Cavill as in his current state versus Dwayne The Rock Johnson in his eternal state. It's just a fucking amazing matchup. God, I can't believe I'm saying more DCEU movies. Oh, God.
It's all right. You're asking for ones that are never going to happen unless they restore the Snyderverse. So you're fine, I think.
Asking for more Snyder movies?
I think you are.
Hashtag Justice League 2.
What am I recommending this week? Sucker Punch. Oh.
Oh, what a great movie.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it does look amazing. It does look bizarre.
I'm hoping it's going to be darker than Shazam. I think Shazam was more comedic, so I'm hoping this is going to be a little bit more darker.
And I think it looks as if it's going to be. I mean, you know, from all they're talking about, the backstory of and blah, 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 I don't think you can put it in that kind of comedic way. But, you know, if anyone can, then it'd be The Rock, because he's a fun guy like that, isn't he? I mean,
he's The Rock. I think that's enough. You know, we all understand who he is and what his on-screen presence is, and it's going to be very wholesome and very powerful and very, very engaging. I think it's going to make all the money.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree. But let's then move across to recommendations. I think we'll probably revisit Fandome next week to talk about some of the TV stuff, including Batwheels and Peacemaker. Because I think there's a lot to say on Peacemaker. But we will save that. We will do our recommendations this week and we'll come back to Fandome. Next week.
Medication's wearing off.
It peaked with the Shrek and now it's gone downhill. So T, what's your recommendation this week?
I am going to recommend The Long Halloween. Did I recommend this? I think I did. I'm going to recommend Star Trek The Next Generation. No real link to anything that we've talked about in the show.
No, you don't feel like DC's films are boldly going?
I'm going to recommend Justice Society of America by Jeff Johns, which was my first introduction to Black Adam. It wasn't by Jeff Johns to start with. It was Robinson who started it, and then Johns took it over. Johns is not a great name to throw around at the moment, I suppose. But anyway, Robinson started it. It's my first introduction to Black Adam and Dr. Fate and all of these kind of JSA characters. This came out around the same time Morrison was writing JLA. So, yeah, JLA and JSA running in parallel. And whilst JLA was like, this is the big epic seven, the gods are here, they're tackling the biggest things in the world, the JSA was much like softer and about like kind of family and generations and, you know, the relationship between heroes. Whilst they also save the world and multi-worlds and in multi-universes and things like that. There's some really, really excellent Dr. Fate stuff, real like tugging on your heartstring human stuff. And similarly, there's some really just fucking brilliant Black Adam stuff. So I've not read any Black Adam comics in recent years, but I know the stuff that's been done in... Justice in JSA and later Justice Society of America is just really brilliant. Really tells his tale from his sort of perspective and the impact it's had on him and what the world's been like. You get to see Hawkman and Hawkgirl sort of their relationship with Black Adam back in the day, back in ancient Egypt, which, as you guys know, is very tough for me to read, but still such a powerful, compelling story. Really good. So in fact, it's a bit of a strange read because you would have to read some JSA issues and then grab some issues of Hawkman, because Hawkman was relaunched and Hawkman's such a complicated character because it had 10 different origins, and they decided to kind of merge them into one in this comic whilst introducing Black Adam and whilst introducing Hawkgirl and bringing it all together. Just done brilliantly. And even without all of that background knowledge, you know, it's all just a good read. One of the comics, so this was the sort of second run in Justice Society of America. There is a scene, you know, I won't do too many spoilers for it, but there's a scene kind of early in that kind of second part of the run that just has me in tears every time I pick up that book. And I know I could just go pick it up right now and I'll be bawling by that final panel, by that final page. Robinson's JSA is my recommendation.
It's a solid recommendation. And have you checked out any of Stargirl yet?
Yes, episode one and maybe a little bit of episode two. Enjoyed it, and I don't know why I haven't seen more, to be honest with you. I think I just forgot. Which is a bizarre thing to say, because I did enjoy it. It was very tough to see Amy Adams. Is that Amy Adams?
Yep.
Amy Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amy Smart is playing like the mother and like Luke Wilson's the dad. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, I'm really old. Maybe that's why I didn't watch this episode. The existential crisis I had to deal with.
Just put on Road Tripping instead. And just kind of...
Yeah, yeah. I need to just like... Ooh. What the fuck is this? Yeah, no. So no, I did enjoy it. And I think I would, I will continue to watch that show now that I've been reminded of it.
It's, I mean, it's an interesting watch with them as being the new version of the JSA. And Dr. Fate hasn't arrived yet, but they've done a fair few other characters, especially in series two as it runs on at the moment, Summer School. Mm-hmm. So, definitely one to get in. It's, you know, without spoiling any of season two, you know, there's a lot to do with Eclipso and the Shade. So, you know, you kind of level of heroes.
I just realized that's obviously why I like the JSA comic as well, right? It is like the Shade, it is Eclipso, it is those characters. So, yeah, obviously I'm probably a bit biased towards that kind of comic book, but yeah, still, you'd recommend.
Gentleman Ghost has been name dropped twice, but hasn't turned up yet. Oh, wow. B, what's your recommendation this week?
So I'm going to recommend a movie which dropped quite recently on Amazon Prime called Infinite. And how I describe, indeed, Mark Wahlberg. How I describe this would be a cross between Fast and Furious, which we've referenced, and The Eternals. It's just a fun movie. Don't think too much about it. It's just great. It's a great concept.
I saw not the trailer, but I saw the autoplay thing on Prime. And genuinely, my first thought was, this is a B movie. B's going to love this movie
It's generally a fun movie. I like movies like this, which don't require too much thought. It's just a great Sunday afternoon flick.
Yeah,
is it an original IP? Sorry, Joe, I keep jumping in.
That's right.
I believe so. I've not seen a crossover between Eternals and Fast and Furious just yet.
I have also watched the autoplay. It looks like a weird kind of, you know, live, die, repeat style thing with Mark Wahlberg, and similar, anything with Mark Wahlberg that's ever so slightly science fiction, I think, is a total B movie. As in a movie B would like, not a B movie. Yeah. So we obviously are both profiling quite drastically.
Gee, thanks. I'll take that as a compliment.
I'm sure it's meant as one.
This means we've been doing this podcast too long, B.
I can almost hear, I mean, the voiceover of the autoplay basically is you going, it's a great movie. And from now on, we'll have you also going, don't care.
No. It's donkey.
There we go.
Go on, T, your turn.
That's the stuff our listeners tune in for. Hope you stay to the end for that bit.
And now they're all left.
In that case, I'll give my recommendation to no one left. So one of the trailers we'll talk about next week, one of the stories we'll talk about next week when we talk about the rest of Fandome or more of Fandome, is Harley Quinn Season 3. Harley Quinn Season 2 has recently finished on E4 and is my recommendation. Starts with a Harley Quinn version of the famous No Man's Land Batman story. Batman is dead. Joker is also dead. And the villains carve up Gotham. And then Harley decides that she doesn't like that. It's just so bizarre where they go. You know, I mean, it suddenly takes on kind of bigger things with the Justice League disappearing and, you know, Darkseid and various other things. So it becomes quite the big story. But has a good amount of humor and a good amount of heart through it. So yeah, very quickly becoming one of my favorite kind of versions of Harley Quinn, and one that started to influence the comics a little bit more. So we're starting to see some of the canon from this start feeding into Harley Quinn in some of the comics. So it'll be an interesting one.
I love that, especially as a character who was introduced to the comics from a cartoon. I love that it's a cartoon appearance that's introduced to the comics again. That's brilliant.
Absolutely. And that'll bring us to the end. So we will be back next week with the rest of Fandom. But before then, continue to look after yourselves and each other, and we will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Cheerio.
Fandom. I'm gonna tell you no matter.